Hey guys, this is Life Talks with Scott, and this is episode 3 of our Marriage, Relationship, and Purity series. So, if you've been following along in this series, then you know in episode 1, we talked about laying the foundations of marriage in regards to God's original purpose and design. And in the last episode, we talked about the covenant of marriage and the reality of two becoming one. So if you haven't listened to those, make sure to go back and listen to those before you listen to this one. Now, this podcast is really going to be directed towards single people who are looking to be married. You know, and I can just tell you from experience that marriage is finding your spouse, I guess I should say, can be kind of daunting for a lot of individuals. It can be a really kind of challenging thing in order to find your spouse, because the reality is you don't want to pick the wrong person. I don't think anyone wants to pick the wrong person, especially when you have the understanding of the lifelong covenant that marriage is. So I remember walking into my high school class and we were talking about relationship and marriage, and I told them, I said, what if I could give you clues and tips to make sure that you are marrying the right person? You know, and obviously immediately everyone just perked up and started paying attention. I mean, everyone in class. And, you know, in the end, I told them, I said, I wish it was that easy, but it's not. You know, it's really not. Now, for us Christians, we have such a benefit. We have such an advantage over other people because we can listen to the Lord. And, you know, I'm going to share a little bit about mine and Camila's testimony today. But we can hear from the Lord, which is the greatest advantage we could have in terms of finding our spouse. But it can still be difficult because there are a lot of emotions that are at play. And even for Christians, there becomes this tendency where you get led by emotions instead of being led by the Lord. And that's always dangerous. But anyway, I want to start out with this metaphor. Because think of it like this, and I can't remember who uses this. I believe it's Danny Silk. He says, finding someone in life is like being in an airport and trying to find someone that is going to the same destination that you're going, right? So imagine that you have a ticket to New York City, and you find someone in a restaurant while you're in your layover who you get along with, they like you, you like them, but you realize they're going to Japan. Now, what happens a lot is we allow our emotions to overwhelm us and say, oh my gosh, you know, this person's awesome. You know what? I'm going to go change my ticket to New York for a ticket to Japan. And you get on the plane with this person, you head off to Japan. Well, years later, you're in Japan and you realize, what am I doing here? I should have never been here. I should be in New York right now, right? And I always tell my students that, look, it's better to not be married and want to be married than to be married and not want to be married, right? And so a lot of thought and effort needs to go into really, in prayer more than anything, figuring out, Lord, is this the right person for me? So you don't want to give up your destiny, your call, your plans and purposes for someone who's going in a different direction as you, okay? Now, I can say this, if you come into a relationship with two people who are pursuing the Lord, then you already have that in common. But you need to make sure that the Lord is calling you to the same place. I remember when me and Camila were engaged, or I was asking our pastoral staff at the church we were in Bogota, I was just asking them for permission and if it was okay. And to date Camila, and you know, they asked my intention. I said, well, to get married. And they brought me in and they talked with me and they all approved. They all, you know, they said, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the pastors brought Camila in and he brought her in. He said, look, first I want you to know Scott, he's a great guy. He's amazing. He goes, but I also want you to know that he's a missionary. He left his family. He left his home. He left his own language to come to another country to follow and serve the Lord. and you understand that you are marrying a missionary, and there might be a time where you have to leave your home, your family, your language, and follow the Lord. And, you know, obviously she was willing to do that because we're married, but it really made her think, and she says, oh my gosh, he's right. You know, and a lot of times we need to make sure we understand who we're marrying as well as the call of God on the life of the person we're marrying. Because if Camila didn't feel called to the nations, then I can tell you that she should not have married me. But because she had that call on her as well and she knew it, she was able to marry me. And so after a year or so of being married, here she is now leaving her home, leaving her language, and she's coming over to the United States to a different language and a different people. You know, it's funny, in our vows for our marriage, we both, without knowing it, we both quoted the verse from Ruth that says, you know, I leave, your people become my people, your God will become my God. And just as like, you know, an example of, look, I'm willing to follow you as you pursue God. And the same, you know, I'm willing to follow her as she pursues God. And so we need to make sure that when we marry someone that we're heading in the right direction. Don't marry someone who's called to the bush of Africa to camp in tents and minister to people as a missionary if you don't even like camping or don't even feel called out of your city, right? Okay, that's a serious thing right there to really think about. So, also, there's a lot of times when your emotions can get the best of you. And here's what I always recommend. You need to have good counsel. Okay, when you are thinking about being in a relationship with someone, you need to have people in your life that you give permission to speak into your life, right? In Colombia, I had several leaders. You know, I had a guy, he was like my brother, my older brother, his name's Tato. We had pastors, you know, all these people. And I gave them permission to speak into my life. You know, and we need to have people who have that authority to speak into our life and that we listen to. Because when your emotions get involved, a lot of times you don't think. I mean, they have that saying, love is blind. And man, I mean, love isn't just blind, but love is blind. It's deaf and it can be dumb, right? And so we need people who are kind of waking us up from that la-la land. You know, when you meet someone, you're like, oh my gosh, this person's beautiful. They're so amazing. They can't do anything wrong. Well, ask yourself that in about 10 years after being married, right? But you need those people who give you that wake-up call. They shake you and they say, hey, you need to wake up. This is what it is. And here's the thing. You need to find people that you trust to tell you no. And you need to listen to that. I can't tell you how many people I've seen in relationships that they shouldn't have been in, but the people around them gave them counsel and said, hey, look, probably not a good idea, okay? But their emotions, but I feel like I can't live without this person. Like we are meant to be, okay? That's your emotions. There's your emotions being involved and wrapped around this person. And you need to be able to hear the Lord, okay? And that's why it can be challenging in these situations that you need to quiet yourself, quiet your soul, and hear the Lord. And then you need to have people speaking into your life, people that you trust. I just want to kind of share with you all my story. You know, I was a missionary in Bogota, Colombia. I went on the mission field in 2012. And when I went down there, I had felt and I had a word from the Lord that I was going to find my wife in Colombia, you know? And so when I get down there, it wasn't really at the forefront of my mind. But after being down there a few months, I actually had another word from someone else who I very trust, credible individual who was just praying for me and said, wow, the Lord says that your wife is Colombian, right? Now, look, I'm just going to be honest. When it comes to prophetic words about your wife, you need to really, really have discernment and really hold them with a grain of salt sometimes, okay? Now, I had already had a word about that from the Lord personally, so I kind of knew that. And so I'm down in Colombia, and all of a sudden, I start listening, find myself listening to all these marriage, like, videos and marriage series, and I'm like, what in the world? This is not my MO usually, and I just thought it was funny. So in my natural mind, I had made a list of everything that I think that my wife needs to look like. You know, she needs to be like this. She needs to be like this. She needs to be like this. I had a list, and I said, God, this is it, right? This is my list. This is what I want. And so I immediately start looking at the people around me that fit that description. They had to speak English, right? They had to be passionate for missions. They had, you know, all these things. And I start looking around. And I'm like, okay, there's really no one. There's really no one, you know, that I'm really finding. But I remember, you know, the church that we were at, they're a prophetic church. I remember having several people who would walk up to me and be like, hey, have you talked to Camila? And I'm like, well, I know who she is. I know she's a leader on the dance team. And I don't think she speaks English, though. And I haven't really given it much thought. And so I would kind of just ignore it. And then I'd have another person say that, and I would ignore it. And this was happening, when I say a ridiculous amount of frequency, like consistently happening, I started saying, okay, maybe there's something to this. But what really changed it is one day I was, we were all eating at a restaurant after a church event, and a man that I really trust, comes up to me and out of character, completely against his character, gets in my face and says, why have you not talked to Camila? And like, I was really taken aback, like, whoa, bro, what do you mean? And he starts saying, what are you, a chicken? You a chicken? You can't even go talk to her? You need to go talk. I mean, he's getting like aggressive. And so he made me promise that I would at least talk with her. And so I was like, okay. And so I was a little like, that was a really awkward interaction. That was a really strange interaction with him. So I went home, and you know, I would pray at night, and you know, and I remember just kind of a nonchalant prayer with like, Lord, you know, what is all this with Camila? Okay, what is all this with Camila? And I would just nonchalantly pray that, say, look, you know, just show me what your plans and purposes are. I'm telling you, I probably only did that for a week, only a week. And I actually have the date written down on September 16th, 2012. I have it written down in the journal. I'm sitting in my bed watching Narnia, and all of a sudden, the presence of the Lord fills my room. I mean, to the point of where I was like, I'm about to die. I am about to die. And I am freaking out. And all of a sudden, I hear the most profound, internal audible voice of the Lord say, you have to talk to Camila because she's your wife. Boom. I mean, it shook me to my core for days. Now, what did I do? I did not run off to Camila and say, the Lord said you're my wife. And in fact, look, guys and girls especially, if anyone comes up to you and says, the Lord told me you're my wife, you know what you need to do? You need to probably run the other way. All right? You really need to run the other way. But what I did is I sat there and I said, Lord, if you tell me, it's your responsibility to tell her as well. And I made a commitment with the Lord that I was not going to tell Camila this and that he would have to tell it to herself. Well, I'm telling you, the Lord spoke that to me. And in my spirit, I knew that he was going to do it within a year. Like, I just knew it. Like, he had spoken to me, like, I'm going to do this within a year and you're going to be married. And that terrified me. I was like, I'm not ready. There's no way. So here's the thing too, like I was really nervous. I was like a really nervous individual around girls. I did not do well talking with girls, but anyway, I trusted the Lord and I said, okay, Lord, you know, whatever you want, you know, I'm going to trust you. And that's what I really had to do in this process is trust the Lord, because I'm talking to someone who doesn't speak English, right? And who I don't know anything about. You know, this person, Camila, has a degree in dance. I have two left feet. And so I had to really trust the Lord. Like, when I say, like, physically, I couldn't see us working out. Like, it was a real test for me. Like, I had to trust in the Lord's goodness. And, it was a struggle for me. Like, this was a season where I didn't think the Lord was as good as he really is. I said, there's no way he's this good. Like, there's no way. Like, this isn't going to work. I'm sorry. And I had to trust him. Even though what I saw, I couldn't. I was like, there's no way. Like, we just look incompatible. And now we sit back and we laugh about it, you know, being married now or together now for over 8 years. We look back and we laugh about it because the Lord is so good and he knows us better than we know ourselves. Like, we couldn't see ourselves with anyone else now. And so, anyway, in this process, immediately when the Lord speaks this, it's like Camila just started showing up everywhere I was. She started showing up at my work. I taught at a Christian school. She would show up there to help out. She would be on the same buses I was on. And, I mean, it became ridiculous. And so the Lord prodded me, and I just asked her to go, you know, get a coffee, which I didn't realize at the time. She hated coffee. So I just asked her to go get something to eat and just talk. And I'm telling you, man, I felt like a goob. I couldn't speak Spanish. She couldn't speak English. So I would bring a piece of paper every time we went out with some questions written on it in Spanish and in the translation below. And we depended on Google Translate. But I tell you what, being going out with her, and when I say we go out, like, it wasn't like, well, you date me. Like, I tell people this, like, we never dated. Like, we literally formed a relationship, a friendship. And we, you know, when people said, what's going on with you guys? We would say, well, we're just cultivating a friendship, a relationship to see what happens, right? And we never said, oh, this is my girlfriend or he's my boyfriend, right? That wasn't what we did. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's for everyone, but this was for us. Like, we didn't do that. In fact, I told her, like, on our first date, I said, look, I'm not looking for anyone. Like, I'm not looking for a girlfriend. Like, I'm looking to be married. Like, I'm not looking for just a girlfriend or a relationship, whatever. Like, I'm looking for the person that the Lord has really called me to spend my life with. Now, you know it was the Lord because she didn't run off, right? In fact, if anything, she was kind of like, oh, my gosh. Not like a, oh my gosh, this dude's creepy, but oh my gosh, like, this is serious. And so we just kept coming together, and man, I'm telling you, people ask me how I learned my Spanish. That was it, you know, Google Translate, and talking with Camila. And so as we were together, like, the Lord just started pulling us together, and just, he kept reaffirming in us and kept reaffirming in us, like, this is it. Even though, I mean, we had doubts. Like, I'm telling you, even when we were walking to the altar to get married, we were like, Lord, is this really the right person? Is this really it, Lord? And like I said, the Lord, he is so good. I mean, he is so good. We got married. Here's the thing. We didn't get married passionately in love. Like, we liked each other. And we were definitely in love. But we weren't passionately in love. We got married out of faith of God and his goodness. Like, it was a risk for us. And when I tell you, he came through and he showed himself to be way better than we could have ever imagined. I mean, he did. So we actually got married. And it's a really long story in terms of how it all happened. But we actually, we met in Lima. We started going out and dating in Bogota. We got engaged in Brazil. And then, you know, we got married in Colombia as well. But when we got married on, originally our original date was going to be for like October. And I had no peace about it, no peace. And so I said, stop, stop, stop. We're stopping everything. And I prayed about it. And the Lord gave us September 15th. And so on September 15th, we ended up getting married. So I remember waking up on my wedding day. And as I was getting ready, the Lord spoke to me and he reminded me. I had completely forgot this, but he reminded me. He said, hey, you remember when I said that I was going to do this within the year? It was September 15th of 2013. So, he had spoken to me about Camila on September 16th of 2012. It was one day before a full year. And so, I mean, I was just floored about on his faithfulness and his faithfulness and his ability to accomplish what he said he would accomplish. And it was a really tough process because I had to trust in the Lord through this whole thing. I couldn't speak to her and woo her with my words because my Spanish was like probably second grade level. You know, I'm like, cat is blue. Now it wasn't that bad, but you know, the Lord spoke to Camila. The Lord spoke to Camila over Christmas and really confirmed to her that I was the one that she was supposed to marry, Christmas of 2012, and then we got married in 2013. So, I mean, the Lord was faithful in that, and he did confirm to her. I didn't have to go and tell her, you're going to marry me, you're my wife, the Lord said you're my wife. That is not the way to handle it. Then 99.99% of the cases, that's not the way to handle it. Let the Lord speak to both the people. He needs to speak to you, and he needs to speak to the other one. But I can't stress enough the importance of hearing the Lord. Hearing the Lord, because like I said, this is a lifelong covenant, and you need to be able to hear the Lord clearly. But I had those people in my life who were speaking into me, pastors, spiritual leaders who were really serious. I mean, they're not just trying to play Cupid and get people into relationships, but they were really serious about it, and they said, no, we really feel like this is God, right? And I trusted in them. I trusted in my mom, my dad, you know, all these people, I trusted in them, and they all approved. But so you have this confirmation in you, right? You have a confirmation from the Lord, and you have a confirmation from those around you. But I can tell you this, like, the best way to go about this is to not actively look for a wife. It's to hear the Lord and talk with him and allow him to speak to you, right? Because if you're actively, constantly looking for your wife or your spouse, your husband, then you're gonna walk into every room and look around. Could it be this? Could it be this person? And it's going to be hard for you to form just normal relationships, okay? And so you need to be able to come into a room and just have the Lord speak clearly to you about who your spouse is going to be. Now, I can tell you that we have friends who are amazing. They're amazing people. They love the Lord. And the Lord didn't work with them that way, right? And that's okay. Although they actually just formed relationships out of getting to know one another, and they ended up getting married. But the Lord confirmed it. The Lord said, no, this is good. Okay? I had originally told the Lord, Lord, I can't waste time with that. And I don't plan on dating anyone. And so, you know, when that happened, I said, Lord, I just want you to tell me who my wife is. So, anyway, so that's some things for me that really helped in this process. It really helped me. I guess this is just a little bit of my story and how the Lord spoke to me about Camila, and how, you know, I had to trust in him and have faith in him. Because really, I told the Lord several times, I'm like, Lord, you know what marriage is. It's a lifelong covenant. Like, this needs to work out. This needs to work out. And like I said, I ended up finding that I had trust issues in his goodness. But he is so good. And so my encouragement for everyone out there looking for your spouse is, obviously there are some key indicators. Like, make sure that you're compatible. Camila, even though I didn't think she was so compatible with me. Even the words over her life had nations all over them. Right? When we go back and listen to the words before we were married, they had nations all over them. And even, you know, my life as well. And so we were just so compatible in that sense. And even our desire to serve the Lord, worship, everything. So that's one thing, is look at, are y'all heading in the right direction? You know, she knew that she wanted to serve the Lord with her life. I want to serve the Lord with my life. I still do. We still do. And then we had those people around us that were confirming what we were doing. And we also had, most importantly, the Lord confirming us what he was doing. So those are my three points for you. Look for just the same direction. Are y'all heading in the same direction? Is that confirmed? Do the people around you that you trust to speak in your life confirm it? And most importantly, is the Lord speaking to you and confirming it? So thank you guys so much for listening to today's podcast. Next Monday, when we pick up again, we're going to talk about virtues, knowing your worth, and things like that. So thank you guys again, and looking forward to hearing back from you next week.